You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Today, we'll step away from our regular Friday conversations for Set Apart to Serve to squeeze in our monthly conversation on reading the Book of Concord together. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Our guest today is the Reverend Brady Finnern. He serves as president of the LCMS Minnesota North District. He's also host of Concord Matters on KFUO, and he's written a monthly plan for reading the Lutheran Confessions and together in the Lutheran Witness. And today we're going to take a look at the plan for September. Pastor Finnern, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Great to be here.
All right, so we've been reading the Lutheran Confessions together, mostly in the Epitome. So we're going to continue that this month as well. But we're kind of winding down. So we're on the tail end of reading the Epitome. What are some considerations for us to consider, to think about as we push through to the end?
Yeah, no, thank you. First of all, I would say enjoy reading, the confessions, because as we say that the confessions are in accord with God's word, meaning we have a quia subscription. We believe that it is confessing the truth of scripture. So enjoy it, read the Bible. I'm not saying just read the confessions, never your Bible or something, but enjoy it. It is written for the sake of a clear conscience for all who read it. It's for the sake of the truth in a world where often you don't know if it's true. And so just enjoy it, because it is all gift. Points you to Christ and gives you all the gifts that the Lord has given to us in his word. So that's the first thing. Enjoy it. Not supposed to be a burden. It's supposed to be a joy for you. Secondly is the form of Concord. I think this is very important for today. The form of Concord teaches us how to confess the truth. It is a big book, but it has many parts of that book. So you can break it down into each section and each different confession that's there. But it is a very simple yet thorough manner of the depth and riches that we have in Scripture. And so with that understanding of how to confess, it's really unique, because if you read the Augsburg or the Apology, even some senses you'll read other parts, small call it articles, there's still a feeling of it being, we are against the Roman Catholic Church, which we have to clearly confess what we believe as opposed to what they believe. But when you look at the controversies from 1546 to when this was written, 1577, it very much so is a controversy among those of the Augsburg Confession, and obviously other Reformed groups, the Calvinists and others. So it is not like we're just against Roman Catholics, but it clearly distinguishes between other Christian confessions of what we believe versus what they believe. So when this dispute arrives, it is not something where we just say, well, it's some weird people over there. It's often like people in their own churches. It says very clearly in our article today from Article 9, where it says, this article has been disputed among some theologians who have subscribed to the Augsburg Confession. So, church conflict has been around a long time, and it was around even then. So when there's an issue theologically in your own congregations, in us as a wider synod, among other Christians, this isn't something new, and the Formula of Concord teaches us this is how you can confess the truth clearly, succinctly, and I would even argue respectfully with others, to say, we believe this, and we don't believe this. And so that's very important for us to understand how we live together as Christians, even within our own congregations. And finally, I really challenge our listeners today, especially, but for all of our reading, and especially when you go back to Scripture, is to remember this important theological distinction: God hidden versus God revealed. So when we look at something like Christ's descent into hell, the question is, what does God reveal to us and what doesn't he? What are the parts that we don't understand or don't fully understand according to Scripture, and what is very clear in Scripture? I mean, we talked about this last time with the person of Christ. We still have these controversies about the Lord's Supper. What does it say about the Lord's Supper, and what doesn't it say? And it's very important for you to, what does Scripture say that, and then stop talking. And that's exactly what I love about this article, Article 9, is that the reformers were dealing with a lot of different questions. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And they said, this is what it says. And then they stopped talking. Very important for us as we live our Christian lives. And even, I want to say, for our consciences, because as it says in Matthew chapter 6, do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Very, very important for us that when God says it is finished, that we believe it. And a lot of the questions we don't know about, we leave in the Lord's hands. So those are some very important realities and challenges, really, to our listeners. When you read the formula, enjoy it. It's going to help you teach you how to confess the truth and make sure we stick to what Scripture says and not worry so much about what Scripture does not say.
So we are in most of our reading this week, or a good portion of our reading this week is the Epitome, Article 9, 1 through 4 is what we're looking at. And that particular topic is Christ's descent into hell. Now, I believe you have an interesting story about how this first became interesting to you.
And I tell you what, and a lot of things happen this way too. You go to camp and you learn a lot about yourself, about others, about reality when you go to camp. And so, and it went beyond canteen time when I was drinking Mountain Dew at 9 o'clock at night and wondering why I couldn't sleep, you know. Wait, well beyond that. Yeah,
this
right.
This wasn't like last year though, right?
No, it was not last year. I'm still learning as I age. Yeah, exactly. But anyways, so I went to Lutheran Island Camp. That's a camp 20 minutes from my home. And every night, and they still do this to this day, it's a beautiful thing. They would have at night from 6 to 8 o'clock after dinner, they would have question and answer with the pastor. And so you remember all these kids are asking all these random questions, you know, about angels and all of this. And I remember one, and I was kind of like falling asleep, probably because I didn't have Mountain Dew yet. And I remember I was like, not interested. And then one girl goes, how did Jesus descend to hell? Boom. Interest was there. I remember specifically. And I perked up. My 12-year-old mind was like, oh, yeah, okay. I remember kind of saying that he descended into hell, maybe because I was always interested in things of the dark nature, if you will, and interested in the devil and how does this work. And I thought to myself, wasn't Jesus in the tomb? How did this happen? When did it happen? Was Jesus wrestling with a scary red-colored fellow with a trident? You know, all these kind of things. Did Jesus win or didn't he win? I mean, all this, I was big into WWF at the time. And my imagination was going crazy. And I remember the pastor simply said this, Jesus had his victory parade. That's it. And I remember the kids were just kind of like, well, what about this? What about this? He said, nope, all we know, it was Jesus's victory parade. And that's where he stopped. And I tell you what, I don't know what your experience was, Andy. There's so many of those small moments that occurred to me while I was at camp that I just encourage our listeners, pray for those who work at our Lutheran camps. Now the season is over and they do other programs, but there's so many of those moments I had as a camper where I learned those small little snippets, and especially God hidden versus God revealed. You say what Scripture says and you don't try to add to it. And ironic, this was an issue in the 16th century as well. So that is my story. Kind of fun.
I think you also bring to light a good point. Pastors who are listening, if you're invited to camp to be the pastor for the week at camp, this is important.
It is. It is.
Kids come with great questions. They have really, really valid and important questions that they're looking for answers to. So, Pastor, if you're invited to go to camp, accept that invitation and go and be ready. Sorry, that's my soapbox. All right, let's go back to this important theological topic in the confessions, Christ's descent into hell. So the pastor at camp that week said that Christ's descent into hell was his victory parade. What do we mean? What do we believe about Christ's descent into hell?
Here's what we know. We're going to go back to Scripture, and Scripture is very clear. When you look at very clear in the sense of the words, but not clear in the sense of other questions that come up. So first, we specifically look at 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says, for Christ also suffered once for sins. So that's that completeness of the cross. The righteous for the unrighteous. That wonderful Christ took our sin and he gave us his righteousness, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So very clear language of, he said, it is finished. We are dead in our sins, but alive in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 3, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey. God's patience waited for the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt through the body, but as an appeal to God for the good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, very clear language about the fullness of salvation in Christ. Very full language of Noah being saved and connecting that salvation to baptism. So if you look at this text, it is completely surrounded with Christ's victory and his victory being brought to us in baptism. So that is very important. I read different articles on this, and just speaking about when we speak about Christ's descent to hell, we are speaking about Christ's victory. It does not say specifically this was his victory parade, but based on the clear passages with the unclear passages, we know that somehow, at some point, Christ went to hell. And the confessions speak very clearly here. Destroyed hell for all believers. He proclaimed this victory, delivered them from power and the death and the devil, eternal condemnation and the jaws of hell. This is exactly what it says here in this very, very short article here in the Epitome. And what we know is more than enough. It says this in 495 on this Christ's descent into hell. It says in section 4, it says, it is enough. It reminds me of the language in the Small Catechism when it talks about it is enough for someone when they receive Holy Communion that they have faith in the words of Christ. And that's the same thing we're saying here. We have faith in the Word of God to give us what we need. That Christ has had the victory, that victory is yours in Christ through baptism, which now saves you. So that's what we believe about this very, very short article that clearly they needed to have a clear confession in those days, and even for fifth graders at camp, and even for us in our daily walk with the Lord.
We are taking a look at the monthly reading plan of the Lutheran Confessions in the Lutheran Witness. Today, we're taking a look at the topic of Christ's descent into hell with Pastor Brady Finner, and we'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six churchwork programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future churchwork students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. We are taking a look at the monthly reading plan of the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, with Pastor Finnern today. You can follow along this reading plan in the Lutheran Witness, our monthly reading plan of the Book of Concord. And Pastor Finnern, the president of the LCMS Minnesota North District and host of Concord Matters here on KFUO, is our guest as we're digging into this, to God's Word and the Lutheran Confessions that clearly confess what God's Word says about this. So we're taking a look at mostly the Epitome, the formula, and taking a look at what 1 Peter chapter 3, mm-hmm. Christ's descent into hell. How has this been misunderstood, or what are some controversies? First, I want to talk about the descent to hell, but I think we need to back up just a little bit to Good Friday and what happened there. I think that plays a role in the controversies about his descent into hell. Are there misunderstandings about what happened Good Friday?
Well, there are. And that's one of the realities of this is, you know, what happened on Good Friday? Mm-hmm. And once again, we go back to the very simple words of Christ is on Good Friday. The question is, when you look at the cross, what sin did he not die for? When you see that blood flowing down, when you see him being stabbed in the side and you see him not breathing and completely just destroyed, you ask, what sin did he not die for? And that's why we hear the simple words of Christ where he says, it is finished. And what echoes in the background is that the devil will never overcome his kingdom. This goes to Matthew chapter 16. So we hear this, it is finished. And then we're like, oh yeah, he did say that the gates of hell will never overcome. That whenever Jesus encounters the devil, it's not a back and forth, well, we'll see who wins today kind of thing, is that he has a final victory with only one word, with only a few words, and the devil runs away scared, goes into pigs and, you know, disappears and all these kind of things. And so it is very, very, very important that we understand Good Friday. And obviously that leads us to understanding the resurrection, that his victory is ours. This is 1 Corinthians 15 language. That thanks be to God for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. So it's a misunderstanding of Easter as well, that Christ has had the final victory. And somewhere, somehow, he went to hell to have that victory parade. Did he do it physically? Did he do it spiritually? What time did it happen? You know, all of these things come in. I mean, literally, we are like, we're back in fifth grade, back in the fifth grade mind of Brady Finneran, which is terrifying because who knows what else is going on in my mind. But these were controversies very much so during that time where people were probably over theologizing. They were doing some philosophy. Now, what about this? Was it his humanity that went down to hell? Was it his divinity? Was it only one of the two? Was it both? All of this is the question of, was it part of, and one of them was this part of his suffering? Was it part of his resurrection, his victory? And the final answer that they give, one, there was a great sermon. I've read this sermon before, is Dr. Luther gave in Torgau in the year 1533. And he took out all the questions, all the useless, it says, unnecessary questions from it. And he said, just believe what Scripture has to say, that Christ has had the victory, his life, death, and resurrection has been encompassed by those simple words, it is finished. Which is why I still love, you know, we're Jesus's life, death, and resurrection people, but we're also, you know, we really are able to say every day, every year, every moment that Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Such simple words, but it encompasses everything that we filter through in our daily lives as his people.
I think, and I know I've heard this in modern times, I don't know if this controversy existed before, but there's a misunderstanding about Good Friday and Jesus' death on the cross. When he says it is finished, whose victory is this? This is a victory, right? There's a misunderstanding that the devil won on Good Friday.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if that's, mm-hmm. you know, if someone believes that that's what happened on Good Friday, that the devil won even temporarily, that the victory is only on Resurrection Day, on Easter Day, what does that then say about his descent into hell? So first we have to understand what it is finished means. Because if we don't understand that that is a victory, then his descent, then we don't understand that his descent into hell is about his victory as well.
That's
wonderful. And we come up with all these weird theories.
Exactly right. Yeah. If Jesus lost and the devil won, and then that changes the whole thing. And that the descent into hell is a whole different meaning, right? Like, okay, he didn't win there, but he won. He won in the descent. And you're like, no, he won. And this was his victory parade. Victory has already been won. You know, he's throwing out accusations of proclamations to them and saying, hey, by the way, I won. And then it just gets proven over and over again of his victory. through the word, through the sacraments, when we worship, when we receive that forgiveness, it is a continual proclamations of his victory, which started on Good Friday and continues to Easter and continues on still today.
So why is it important for us to confess this article clearly?
Well, one thing that's interesting, this is a little bit of a side note, is we know that we confess it in the creeds. But what's interesting is, I don't know how many people, this is a good question for a college student. The first one is that, is it in all three of the creeds? Athanasian, Nicene, and Apostles? And what do you think people would say, DCE, Andy Bates?
Some might say yes.
Exactly. Because we just assume that it's all there. But actually, it's only in the Apostles and the Athanasian, not in the Nicene Creed. So there it is. That's a good little trick to have when you have a lock-in or something to ask the kids and give them Mountain Dew at 10 o'clock at night. Anyways, it's not in the Nicene Creed. Obviously, this is what it is, but Apostles' Creed clearly confesses it. Athanasian Creed very much so clearly confesses it. So it is there. We believe it. More importantly, it's in Scripture. And it is very important for us as Christians and so vital that we are able to say it is enough that we know that Christ has had the victory. We know that he did not lose on Good Friday, as you said so well, Andy, that he did win that day, and his submission is victorious and his resurrection is victorious. And therefore, we have the victory today, and even more so, the victory is ours even in death, because that is not the end. Our life is only beginning into all eternity, resting with Jesus, awaiting the resurrection when Christ comes back again, where we see, here's the key thing, where we will see the fullness of that victory, not only in the cross and the empty tomb, but we will see it firsthand in perfection through all eternity. So this is why you can almost hear it. It's so simple. It's so short. But readers and listeners, I just encourage you to read the other parts. Solid Declaration, Large Catechism touches on it a little bit. And it's very important. Although short, it is so vital for a clear conscience for everyone, because this is a victory and it continues through all eternity.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so in preparation for this, I got a little nerdy.
Nice, nice. Is this abnormal? Is that normal or this is different than normal? Okay.
So I had to do some additional study, and there's this older book. I have the third edition, Creeds of the Churches, Reader in Christian Doctrine from the Bible to the Present, edited by John H. Leaf, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever used this? It's a handy little volume.
I have referenced it before, yes.
It is. So little nerd information here. The earliest we see this reference to Christ's descent into hell is in the Creed of Rufinus. Is that right? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Around 390 to early 400s. And then we see it in the Textus Receptus of the Apostles' Creed in the early 700s. Thought that was fascinating. Just a little bit of history there.
That is good history. And I don't know how to pronounce that. So I encourage our listeners, if there's someone out there is really good at pronouncing that, then please call in, teach Andy. He'll teach me. We'll be in good shape. That is fascinating. Did you have any other nerd moments that would help us out?
I enjoy looking at this book because it gives just kind of some of the gives some insights on how the creeds, like how we understand the creeds to have come to existence. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it has all the answers, but gives us some insights, perhaps, on how we got the creeds that we confess and that much of Christendom confesses. So, yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And that's how I tell you what, it's also very humbling to see the people involved in the formation of these creeds and their convictions to be able to say, no, that wasn't in Scripture. Like, for example, in the Nicene Creed, when you talk about there was a guy saying, Arius was saying there was a time that Jesus was not. which you think at first you're like, okay, so Jesus came later. You know, he came, okay, you got, okay, Father was there, creation, Jesus comes later. Well, that you think at first, like, nah, no big deal. What huge implications? One, it's not in scripture, but two, it has huge implications of who is Jesus, the person of Christ. All of that comes down to this. And so, yeah, when they put descended into hell, that does have big implications for us, for them in those days, and continuing to confess and to be able to say that clearly. So, yeah, maybe, man, we should have a whole study on the formation of the creeds and why it's important for today. That's a good idea. You just came up with a good idea. What do you think?
There you go. There's another episode of Concord Matters for you.
We'll figure it out. We'll keep going back and forth. I love it.
Well, thank you, Pastor Finnern, and thanks for this reading plan. We've got a few more months. We've got the rest, one for October and one for November, one for December as well. So we'll get those out for you. And then you can keep reading the Book of Concord after this year as well, right?
You can do it every day and for as long as you wish, and right, hopefully you right. do.
Our guest today, the Reverend Brady Finnern, president of the LCMS Minnesota North District, host of Concord Matters here on KFUO, and he's written a monthly plan for reading the Lutheran Confessions. You can find it in the Lutheran Witness. Pastor Finnern, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
And thank you. God bless.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.